Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Welcome to Three in the Key.
I looked over at Truth during one of the timeouts, Paul, and I said, not ending your career in Utah.
Bringing you in-depth basketball analysis and interviews from the Great White North.
Bound by Terry. Shot clock is down to six. Thon Maker is in. DeRozan by him. And takes it up. Oh, he trucked one hard.
With your hosts, Elias L. Zane, Will Macklin, and Dave the Professor Tripp.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Three in the Key. Elias L. Zane alongside Will Macklin. Wow. Okay, Will. Excited not to show up today. Dave Tripp. Wow. Two no-shows. Okay, I'm going to try this one more time. Fuad Ahad.
What's going on, man?
Okay, Fuad, whoa, you're here.
Yeah, I guess it's just the two of us.
Wow. Okay, Will and Dave are not here. They are being replaced by one lamp. And a speaker, I see in there.
A lamp and a speaker, yeah.
Where they usually sit, but this is unprofessional
by
them.
What is going on? What? Has this ever happened in the history of Three in the Key? 52 episodes now.
Yeah. No.
Two of them together.
Two, me, well, when we were three, before you joined our team, we've done two. But yeah, it was only one missing. But two
exactly
missing
two
now
missing
out of our four?
Oh, man. I don't feel as bad for missing those two episodes a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, no, you're here and you're ready to roll.
I'm ready to roll.
They're slacking. They'll be back next week. They should be back, or else we're going to be, you know, opening up positions, putting up applications online, you know, apply within the3nikki@gmail.com. Let us know if you want to join the squad.
Check Indeed.
Check
LinkedIn. Job posting will be up.
Yeah, it will be. Our social media director, Fuad Ahad, will be tweeting and Facebooking maybe applications. Or should we give them a chance?
We'll give them next week.
Next week, if they don't show up, then
I feel like they've
job
got
postings
some things
will
that, that they're working out. I know they've had some years of conflict. One of them wants Westbrook to win the MVP. The other wants Harden to win the MVP.
That's true.
So they probably are dealing with some things right now. So, you know, we'll give them a week.
Okay.
And we'll see what happens.
That's a good idea. We won't jump the gun too much.
Yeah.
But remember, folks, if you want to get a hold of us anyways for anything basketball related, the3inthekey@gmail.com is the email address. Like us on Facebook, 3inthekey. Thanks to everyone who likes us on Facebook. We recently passed 60,000 likes on our Facebook page. Yeah, so thank you to all the listeners who are following along, not only on the podcast, but on our Facebook, which Fuad takes care of 99% of the time. I would probably even 100% with all of our info updated there. So thanks to everyone who likes us on Facebook and follows along, comments and stuff like that. We're going to have some interesting things coming along in the near future with our online users and Facebook especially. So stay tuned for that on Twitter at BasketPod, Instagram at The3inthekey. You can listen to each and every episode on iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, and of course on the Almighty Baller Radio Network on Dash Radio. Make sure to rate and review us on iTunes and Google Play as well. Check out our website, the3inthekey.ca. Today's program, the NBA discussion continues, the NBA playoffs continue. That's going to be pretty much our discussion through the next 2 months until probably halfway to June when the finals wrap up. The second round gets underway. There's only one more game in the first round, and it is a Game 7 Sunday afternoon, Jazz and Clippers.
Yep.
So that's going to be intense. Both teams winning on each other's opposing floor a couple of times in this series.
Surprisingly, yeah.
So it has gone the distance. That's the one series that I had pegged to go seven.
To go
I thought
seven games, no question.
It was going to go seven. Both teams are pretty well balanced. They've just some injuries. Obviously, Griffin is out for the whole playoffs. Rudy Gobert missed a few games, and now he has an ankle sprain that he got in Game 6. So I think it was last I checked, he was questionable for Game 7, but I don't think there's no way you miss a Game 7. If it's not broken, you're in there. We'll break down, we'll talk about round two of the playoffs, and we'll discuss after that the first ever NBA awards show and also fan voting for six categories on that award show at the end of June, June 26th on TNT. So,
hosted by Drake.
Yeah, first one ever, and it's hosted by a Canadian.
Yes, sir. So, I mean, the sport was... brought into the world by Canadian.
That's right.
Let's give out these awards.
Exactly. That's how it's going to work. But your thoughts, Fouad, on round one so far? What have you liked? Obviously, the Raptors, first time ever winning a series and now going the distance. Yeah, they won in six. We actually caught that game together.
Yes, we did. Yeah, that was a fun game.
DeRozan, he had a huge drive to the basket, threw it down with two hands,
that
probably
an
and one. They didn't call it.
Yeah, that was like three fouls on that dunk there.
Exactly. And they finished the series in six games. He's performed very well in the postseason so far.
Better than his past playoff performances.
Exactly.
Sure.
Lowry, I think, has to pick it up a notch. Yeah. And they get, it's a rematch of the East Finals from last season. They get the Cavs in round two, which kicks off on Monday night. What are you thinking so far, Raps-Cavs?
I mean, you got to face LeBron at some point once you're in the playoffs in the East, right? So might as well get it out of the way right away. I don't think there's a question that Cleveland is going to dominate. But they haven't faced this Raptors team with Serge Ibaka inside. They haven't faced this Raptors team with P.J. Tucker defending LeBron. No one can stop LeBron, but P.J. is one of those guys who can play sort of a Tony Allen.
Slow him down a little bit. You know, disrupt him, be a little bit more physical. You know, the playoffs.
Exactly. Make him work for it.
Exactly.
You know?
And they played once at the end of the regular season, but LeBron sat out that game.
Exactly, yeah.
And they finished with identical records, but Cleveland beating them three times earlier in the year, so they have the home court advantage. And Dwayne Casey has said that they're better equipped to face the Cavs. Definitely on paper, there's no one in the East other than the Raptors, I believe, and I think maybe or hopefully people will agree, that are that match up well with the Cleveland Cavaliers. You know, you brought in Ibaka. And that inside presence on defense. And he showed it a lot in round one. Blocking shots, rebounding. You know, we talked about this off the air. And when we were watching the game, we think maybe he takes a bit too many threes.
Yeah.
But he's hit a few. He has an offensive game. I think he's better than Bismack Biyombo big time.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
You know, it's like Bismack. Because, you miss Bismack, right, on the defensive end. But that's what Ibaka brings. And he brings you an offensive game. And P.J. Tucker, as you mentioned, that 3-and-D guy.
Exactly.
I think Carroll's been okay in these playoffs. He had one really good game in that Bucks series. And DeRozan's playing on another level. If Kyle Lowry can boost it up a bit, and those guys like Norman Powell is still contributing, he's leading the playoffs in three-point shooting at 90%. He's only missed one. He's only taken 11, but he's made 10.
10 of 11 is insane.
And he's shooting at 90% from beyond the arc. So if he keeps it going, because Cleveland's a three-point shooting team, they got shooters. LeBron can hit a few from there. Obviously, Kyrie, Kevin Love, Channing Frye off the bench. Yeah. J.R. Smith can get it going at any time. Darren Williams, Kyle Korver. They got a bunch of three-point shooting on that team. And that's where the NBA has gone. Now, obviously, but on paper, I really like this. I really like this matchup: Raptors, Cavs. Second time they meet in the playoffs, second straight year. This one in the semis and not in the East Final. I'm excited to watch it. I honestly hope it's not a sweep or it's not over in five, because you know Cleveland just kicks it up a notch in the postseason, led by LeBron. So hopefully the Raptors could do some damage. Maybe upset them. Maybe push them to seven.
Hopefully, push them to six or seven. But obviously, once the pre kind of looking into this stuff, it's hard to say that this Cleveland team is not going to win in more than five games. Like, it's not going to take them more than five games. But when you do look at it on paper, compared to the team the Raptors had in the Eastern Conference Finals last year, they definitely match up better. I think I would add the Wizards into one of those teams that would have a chance against the Cavs. But the Raptors do look good on paper when you look at you know, each player in each position versus the other player in that same position, it's like Ibaka, Love, you know, you look at inserting Norman Powell into that lineup. That was a huge decision by Dwayne Casey. I think it took him a lot because this is an old school guy. He's mm-hmm. all about that seniority. I want to get my, you know,
stick with my guys
in there. Exactly. Yeah. And for him to pick Norman Powell over a couple of the guys, that was huge. And I'm so happy he did it.
Yeah, Norman Powell has stepped up because he did not play. He got a DNP in game one of that series. Yeah. And then he's played ever since and then started the I believe it was the last three games of that series. And they won them all.
Of course. And this guy's he's a player, man. This guy has game. This guy, he came into the league with that mentality that, you know, the Bucks, they turned him down. The Bucks could have taken him. He said that, you know, I'm going
to... The Bucks drafted him and they traded him.
Sorry, they traded him. Yeah. And in the history of the NBA, when you think about players who were drafted by a team and then traded to another team, that player has come into the league with that mentality like, yo, I need to show myself. I
mean, exactly.
You know a guy by the name of Kobe Bryant. Exactly. That happened to him. What happened with Kobe Bryant?
Yeah, he got traded. Charlotte selected him, but that was like Jerry West that orchestrated that one.
Yeah, yeah.
And they traded him for Vlade Divac, and obviously Kobe, legendary career.
100%.
We don't even have to spend time on that.
Nope.
I think everybody knows what the Black Mamba has done and his 20 years in the NBA. The other East semifinal, the Washington Wizards and the Boston Celtics, that kicks off Sunday afternoon as well. Game one. Things got chippy with those two teams during the regular season. They kind of hate each other. Mm-hmm. Marcus Smart and John Wall and Bradley Beal had a few run-ins. Jay Crowder. So I think it's going to be an intense series, especially on the defensive end. John Wall's always in attack mode.
He always
wants to take it to the hole. He's been playing out of his mind. Had a great closeout game six with over 40 points in that one.
42, 31 for Bradley Beal. 73. That's... Throughout their careers together as a duo, as a backcourt, that was the most points they've scored together. That's scary for the Boston Celtics. That the last game that they played together is the most points that they scored together. And now we got to face them in a 7-game series. That's insane.
I think that one's going to be really good. I don't think it's going to get out of hand. It is the playoffs, though. You know people are going to be aggressive and tough and not give you any easy buckets. We didn't give a prediction for the Raptors-Cavs series. You know, we want to try to lean toward the Raps because, you know, we're in Canada and stuff like that, but it is tough to bet against LeBron and the Cleveland Cavaliers. But hopefully it'll be like a 6 or 7-game series. I do see the Cavs advancing, obviously, in 6 or 7. But what is your take quickly on that before you give me the prediction on the other semifinal in the East?
My prediction for the Cavs-Raptors, I want to say 4-2 for the Cavs.
We're in the same ballpark. Same here. I honestly hope the Raptors can pull it off. Maybe it's LeBron's time to pass it on or to finally lose or something like that, but I doubt it. I don't see it. I don't see someone
in
the
East.
I mean,
last year was a surprise with the two games they won at home.
It's true, and they're a better team now, but they got to learn that you got to get it in game one. You can't wait to game three to play in front of your home crowd, being down 2-0. Try to come back 1-1. You know, it's probably impossible to come back to Toronto up 2-0. You never know. It's basketball. Anything can happen. But I think if you aim for a 1-1, that would be probably
be the
goal.
For sure.
So for Washington, and I think if Cleveland gets past the Raptors, there's no way I don't think Washington or Boston are better than Toronto to give them a challenge. I mean, we got to wait to see who gets to the East Final, but your prediction for Washington-Boston, who comes out of that one?
When it comes to that, man, I'm definitely taking the Wizards over the Celtics.
Okay.
But when it comes to who can, you know, give the Cavs a problem, I think John Wall and Bradley Beal are the best backcourt in the NBA right now.
They're definitely playing like it.
Those two, the way they're playing, and John Wall is on another level. And you got to include their trash-talking into it, because these dudes are trash-talking Atlanta rappers. I don't know if you saw
that post-game
conference. John Wall, the reporter asked him, what were you talking to Gucci Mane and Quavo and Julio Jones about? He laughed, and he's like, I told him I was going to score 35 or more, and we were going to win that game. And we did that. And you heard Bradley Beal for the culture.
Yeah, exactly.
John Wall laughed for the culture, yeah. That was hilarious, but these guys are ready. I mean, Scottie Brooks has been amazing coaching that team, bringing them from, they looked like they were going to be disappointing again, and they made it all the way, got to the playoffs.
Had home court advantage in the first round.
Advantage, yeah. Now they're looking good, man. And like I said last week, this Boston Celtics team is on their way to getting somewhere. It's hard to see them. I mean, I would with the Bulls, they relied on a 5'9", whatever it is, Isaiah Thomas, and that guy was unbelievable. It's hard to see them getting past the Wizards. I'm definitely taking the Wizards.
I know, for all the reasons you've mentioned, I think John Wall is just playing at another level, and he said this is like the best basketball that he's played, and the best is only yet to come. Still, he will be a big factor. Bradley Beal's shooting is going to be crazy, but yeah. I like Boston's defense. They got defenders. They got a lot of guys they can throw at them. Yeah. But I don't think Isaiah Thomas is going to be able to stay in front of John Wall. I don't think Isaiah is going to be guarding John Wall or Bradley Beal because he's not going to be running around those crease. And Bradley Beal can take it off the dribble. I think they're going to try to hide him on Otto Porter.
Yeah,
and just get a hand up in his face when he shoots. But I see the Wizards in six as well, beating Boston and being in the Eastern Conference Finals, probably against the Cavs. The West, one round is not yet finished between the Clippers and the Jazz. Whoever it is going to get the Warriors. I see the Warriors advancing. If it's the Jazz, I think the Jazz will maybe take one game away. It'll be a 4-1 and 5. But if it is the Clippers, honestly, I think it will be a sweep for the Warriors. So I'm going to spend a lot of time on that one. Do you agree?
I agree, and I think for the Clippers, I'm surprised the Clippers won that last game. Chris Paul definitely stepped it up.
He went vintage, man.
That was
Chris Paul of old.
Classic CP3. For them to win a game, if they win today against the Jazz, for them to win a game against the Warriors, Chris Paul would have to play, you know, the best game of his career. And I think we've reached the point where that's not going to happen. So
The Warriors are just they have too much. They'll outdo Chris Paul's amazing performance because really the other offense, like JJ Redick had a huge game in game 5. And they lost.
Exactly.
Then Chris Paul had a big game in game 6, they won. But DeAndre's not really giving them anything other than, you know, he rebounds, he catches those lobs. Well, you can't really give it inside to him and tell him, get me a bucket. He's not that type of center.
Oh, you should have left him in Dallas.
Yeah. And Blake Griffin obviously is out. That's one guy that can get you 25 a night. Exactly. You can call his number. Jamal Crawford has been good. He's hit some shots. But I don't see them being anything close to the Warriors. It would be a sweep. The Clippers haven't even beat them, I think, in three years. They haven't even beat them.
Even if they did, I wouldn't even notice it.
They haven't beat them in a while. So on to the second round of the NBA playoffs. And now moving on to the other West semi, the one that's already in place, who we know is going to be playing. That's the tips off on Monday night, the second game of a doubleheader after that Raps-Cavs game. It is the Spurs and Rockets, and it should be a battle. Battle of Texas.
Battle of Texas.
It's going to be a big one. They haven't played each other, I think, in the playoffs since like 1995. David Robinson and Hakeem Olajuwon.
Hakeem dominated. Yes, he did.
You know,
for
people who haven't seen that series or some highlights, go check it out because Hakeem the Dream was special. He doesn't get talked about enough.
That was prime Hakeem. That was like
that. He went on to win that second title that year.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, and he went through David Robinson,
and who I think won the MVP that year. 95, maybe?
Sure.
I'm not sure. I think he was the MVP. In that year.
Yeah, it was David Robinson.
So Hakeem beat him out and got to the finals and won the championship. So it's going to be a battle of Kawhi this time for the Spurs and James Harden for the Rockets. A three-point shooting team, the Rockets are. They attempted 3-0 shots per game in the regular season. Oh, and they're jacking them up in the playoffs as well, about 34 a game, but they're only shooting it at 28.4% from deep, which is last out of all playoff teams. On the other hand, Spurs are hitting at 41% from deep on 24 attempts. So you know the three-point shot's going to be big. What do you think about this series? I brought that up because, you know, the NBA is going to that three-point shooting, but I think we have two great three-point shooting teams here who are going to take a lot of threes. Obviously, the Rockets live on the three-point shot, live beyond the arc. So your thoughts on this series, Fuad?
The only way for the Rockets to get past the Spurs team is for them to hit those threes because that's their bread and butter. That's I mean, Eric Gordon, Lou Williams, Ryan Anderson, Trevor Ariza, all these guys, James Harden, obviously, Pat Bev, obviously. They got it.
Pat Beverly, sorry for cutting you off, but he's become a better shooter.
I think last series, he might have been one of their best shooters from behind the arc. But they have to hit their threes. If they're not hitting their threes against this Spurs team, then what else do you have? You can't rely on James Harden to get fouled and get to the line every single play. We saw during the year, at some point during the season, Kawhi Leonard had more steals than he had fouls. So this guy is not going to foul James Harden the way the rest of the NBA fouls James Harden.
Oh, he's going to try, at least. You know, James Harden is great at drawing contact.
He's going to try and get it, but, you know, Kawhi Leonard does not foul. Kawhi Leonard is a two-time Defensive Player of the Year. He's not going up against like an Andre Robertson or type thing. You know, this is Kawhi Leonard.
The best defender, one-on-one defender exactly. Probably in the NBA. Won't win Defensive Player of the Year this year. I think it's going to go to Draymond.
Probably Draymond.
But the best one-on-one defender is probably Kawhi. If you want to shut someone down, that's the guy you're throwing on the superstar, on the opposing team.
If you ask me who do you want final play, who do you want to defend a final play against whoever the best offensive player ever, all time, who do I want defending Michael Jordan to stop him? Who else would I put over Kawhi Leonard? This guy has been unbelievable.
Out of all players in history?
I'm talking right now. I'm talking right now.
Okay, this season.
All players in history, you got too many guys to look at. Obviously.
Jordan was a great defender himself.
Exactly. He even put some of his teammates, Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman, some of those guys on him. But players right now, I mean, LeBron is one of those two-way players that's incredible. Paul George, Jimmy Butler, guys like that. But Kawhi Leonard, it'll be tough for James Harden.
And it's going to be, I think it's going to come down to three-point shooting. And because they're taking so many shots, rebounding.
Oh, yeah.
Who's going to rebound? I want to see LaMarcus Aldridge take another step in this series because he hasn't been, I think, the best.
Yeah.
And the playoffs so far, I don't know what it's surrounding him. I think David Lee has given them some good minutes in that Memphis series. Danny Green has been okay. Patty Mills had a career night. Tony Parker is playing like it's 2005.
Yeah, Tony Parker is back.
He's playing, like it's 2007, Tony Parker in the finals where he won that finals MVP. So he's given them some minutes. And, you know, Patrick Beverley is a great defender, and he's going to get after it when Tony Parker has the ball. And it's on Kawhi. Kawhi, obviously, he's the leader of that Spurs team on both ends of the floor. So teammates have to hit shots, and we'll see how it goes. If you had to do a prediction, Fuad, Spurs Rockets, who do you see advancing? Number 2 seed Spurs or the number 3 seed Houston Rockets?
The Spurs are advancing.
Okay.
But like you mentioned, LaMarcus Aldridge, I think even if he doesn't play his best, they're advancing. For them to go any further, LaMarcus has to. He's got to do something. He's got to get in there. If they're going against the Warriors, I think the Spurs can beat the Warriors. They have that. They're the only team in the West that can beat the Warriors.
I think the Rockets have a chance too if they get there. I think these two teams are the team, whichever one advances, I think will give a battle to the Warriors
for sure.
Because the Rockets can be in a game with anyone, right? Because they shoot at a high pace, the three-point shot. If it's falling, if you're taking 35-40 threes a night, and let's say you hit 20, that's unbelievable.
How many teams can beat that?
Yeah, 15, 20 shots. If you get that down to go, which they can
and
with
the
guys they have.
It, yeah.
Yeah, they have crazy three-point shots. Ryan Anderson, Trevor Ariza, Lou Williams, James Harden, Eric Gordon.
Oh, man.
Nene's hit a few. Patrick Beverly is hitting some.
Nene's
you know what I mean?
Huge for them in
so
this postseason.
They
need that big man in there for these three-point shooters. So, yeah.
They've got nasty, shooters. Man. So you said the Spurs are advancing how many games?
I'm going to say 7.
7-game series. I think it is a 7-game series. I want 7 as well. And originally before, I think I had the Rockets, but also it doesn't seem like James Harden's 100% with that ankle. Now he's had a few days off, maybe a week off, I think, since that Rockets series. But it's going to be hard. And do they have someone to stop Kawhi, the Rockets? I don't think so.
I don't think Trevor Ariza can do that at this point in his career. there aren't many.
But it depends on the shooting. I'm leaning towards Spurs. I was originally leaning towards the Rockets, but I think it will be the Spurs and six or seven games.
Yeah.
Six or seven games. Spurs will advance to play the Warriors, but I still see the Warriors coming out of the West.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like at this point, the Warriors are the, you know, up there. It's all a question of, oh, who can kind of challenge them to get out of there. And I think both the Spurs and Rockets can. And I think the Spurs have a better chance just based off who Kawhi Leonard is and who Greg Popovich is and the type of things that they've done. But it's another D'Antoni Popovich battle, something we talked about off record. Those guys have battled for, you know, back in the Phoenix Suns days, Steve Nash and D'Antoni versus Popovich and Tim Duncan.
Yeah, now great battles when Steve Nash got like clothesline, broke his nose, came back to the game.
And
Robert Horry getting into it. I believe he was there. Yeah. Amari, everyone. And then finally the Spurs beating them. Finally the Suns beating them 1 year and getting to that West Final.
Yeah.
I think it was 2010 and the Lakers beat them to advance to the finals and win another title. It's going to be a great series. It should go 6 or 7, hopefully, for us fans. We like to enjoy the series that go a little longer. And we both have the Spurs moving on, so we'll see how it goes. We'll keep you guys up to date as how the series goes, with our analysis coming up with Game 1 on Monday evening. Next, we will speak about the NBA Awards show and the fan voting.
That's
going to happen for 6 different categories. So stay tuned. We'll let you know what the categories are and who we think is going to take home those awards on 3 in the Key.
Welcome back to 3 in the Key.
Hello and welcome back inside the Key. Elias Elzain alongside just Fuad I had today, but that's okay.
Yep.
Will and Dave have decided to sit this one out.
They're just working a couple of things out.
Working a couple of things out, maybe in the ring or something. We mentioned that MVP battle.
That's right.
One picks Harden, that was Will. The other picked Westbrook, so... And then that series just finished. I don't know, they might be a little sour.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, more than Will. But they'll be back next week. Speaking about awards, the NBA usually hands out... awards like the MVP, Coach of the Year, Rookie of the Year, you know, Most Improved, all that fun stuff, Sixth Man of the Year, during the playoffs. Like almost like every round or something like that, there's one, two awards like every couple of games.
Exactly.
But this year, the NBA has decided to change things up and make an NBA award show on June 26th, kind of like what the NHL does.
Yeah.
So there'll be all your awards. You know, the MVP, Coach of the Year, Rookie of the Year, Most Improved, Sixth Man, all that fun stuff. But this year, there will also be 6 categories that fans will be voting on, including Assist of the Year, Best Style, Block of the Year, Dunk of the Year, Game Winner of the Year, and Performance of the Year. How do you feel about fans voting for these awards, these 6 categories?
Thank God it's not the MVP and those other awards. Like, thank goodness it's not those. But no, I like this. I mean, the NBA has been that sports association league that's brought in their fans at every single step. They've gone out there globally, bringing in every single fan and having them participate in everything. And you know, I think it's great that they're doing this. And the categories are mostly great. I mean, best style, like, who cares? But I mean,
I guess it's for fans, right?
Exactly. It's cool to have these. And, you know, I like the Dunk of the Year, you know, the Block of the Year, like these, the Plays of the Year type thing. Those are the things that the fans should be voting for.
Exactly, because it's entertaining and it's what the fans watch and they make the decision there.
Yeah.
So the nominees are for Assist of the Year, Draymond Green to Steph Curry versus the Pacers. Nikola Jokic versus the Pacers as well, and Chris Paul versus the Heat. Those are the 3 for Assist of the Year.
It's Draymond to Steph, and there was a third one to Kevin Durant.
What was that? Was that the same? Was that against the?
Yeah, that was the same. I think
on the NBA Instagram page, they only put Draymond to Steph, but it was Steph passed it. I got away with a double dribble, to the alley-oop dunk. I think that will be your winner. Jokic is up there with the no looks and stuff like that.
That was a nice play, but I don't know if fans are I don't think a lot of fans even know him yet. So
I'm surprised that Russell Westbrook's assist, the one from half court,
that's
the bounce pass through the legs against Toronto. Why isn't
that's my pick for the winner, and it's not even on there. So
I think the Warriors one is going to win the assist of the year. Best style, Russell Westbrook, D-Wade, or Iman Shumpert. I think that's a runaway Westbrook.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because a lot of people hate on him, especially Charles Barkley.
I mean, his style's different.
It's different.
For
it's
sure.
And I love it. It's stuff that I would 100% wear. No question.
Are you being sarcastic?
No,
I can't even tell.
Very serious.
Wow. I wouldn't wear it.
But I'm being very serious.
I wouldn't wear it.
The shirts he's been wearing so far that he wore during these few
He just wears it in a different way. I'm not into the ripped jeans thing in general. Some NBA guys have weird taste. I don't know. It's different. It's unique. Yeah, for Westbrook, I think he will win.
Yeah.
I do own a pair of Westbrook shades, Westbrook frames.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So his sunglasses that you can buy online from his website are pretty cool.
Definitely.
So he'll definitely win the best style.
I take him for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Block of the year: Hassan Whiteside versus the Raptors, Porzingis versus the Nets, or Kawhi Leonard versus the Rockets.
Was the Porzingis one the one where he just grabbed it out of the air with one arm?
I think that might be the one. But I think Whiteside had a pretty big one against the Raptors. I think it was Pascal Siakam. Probably be a toss-up between those two.
That's what I'm thinking. Or even, for me, I can't even pick.
Yeah, that one, block of the year, I'd have to look at them again.
Yeah, exactly. I'd have to look at them again. And the only one I can picture is the Kawhi one. And that was, it wasn't like a vehement, kind of violent block like the other two. But it was a big one. And it was one where the MVP conversation was going on. And then it was Kawhi versus James Harden. And then Kawhi won that battle. It was like the stage was set for that one. So we'll see. I'd have to look at the other two, but probably the Kawhi one.
Dunk of the year: Larry Nance Jr. against the Nets. That's the one where he postered Brook Lopez.
Yeah.
That's the winner for me. I don't care what anyone says. Not just because he's a Laker. I think that was the best dunk of the year. Zach LaVine against the Suns. I'm pretty sure it was on Alex Len. That was a really good one too. And Oladipo versus the Hawks, which was also a monster dunk. Three amazing dunks, but I think Larry Nance is the best one here.
For me, it's between Nance and LaVine, and I give the edge to Nance. That was... some of the dunks that this dude has had.
I want to see Nance in a dunk contest.
100%. Yeah, he needs to get in there.
He needs to get into and do one next year, hopefully. But I think that is the dunk of the year. Game winner of the year: Tyler Ulis against the Celtics. Remember, they stole the inbound pass, and then he hit a three to win that game at home in Phoenix. Kyrie Irving on Christmas Day versus the Warriors.
Yep.
Remember that one in the lane and turn around over Klay Thompson. And Russell Westbrook at the end of the season, that deep three against the Nuggets. I think it's between Westbrook and Kyrie just because of the magnitude of the game. But
exactly.
I think it's going to go to Westbrook as well. This one, Westbrook will have two fan awards.
Westbrook will probably take it. My pick is the Kyrie Irving one. Because watching the two games, the emotion that I felt on the Kyrie Irving one was something else. Because that was a huge shot. That was a huge game. Christmas Day, that was nice.
That was a big one? Okay. So I think that might be the first one we kind of disagreed on.
I think so.
Yeah. Last category that's voted on by the fans is the performance of the year. So I already said Westbrook has two, but he could possibly win a third one here. And this one has four nominees. So James Harden's 53, 16, and 17 triple-double. I believe that was against the Knicks on New Year's Eve. Devin Booker, we all remember that 70-point outrage. Crazy. Highest point game this season, of course.
Of course. In a lot of seasons.
Westbrook, 57, 13, 11. So Harden and Westbrook both won their 50-point triple-doubles.
Yep.
Remember, Westbrook had three on the season. Harden had two, which is crazy.
Can't even
imagine. And then Klay Thompson, 60 points in three quarters on what was it, like 9 or 10 dribbles?
Who knows? It looked like zero dribbles to me.
Yeah, that's I think that's the toughest. That is the toughest category for fans to vote on.
100%.
I don't think there's a loser. Anyone that wins, I think, is okay.
Exactly. It's tough to pick between these four. This is crazy.
If you had to pick one though, Fuad. Which one would you lean towards?
If I had to pick, I would.
I mean, because I know it's fans that are just voting on which one is the best.
We're fans.
But
we're fans.
I know the fans. We're voting. Everyone's voting. The fans. But do we take in account like okay? Devin Booker's 70-point game, but Phoenix didn't make the playoffs. It was just like at the end of the regular season. Like, do we take that into account? That's what I want to know. Because you look at it, and I think Westbrook stands out. 57 points and a triple-double.
We agree again, yeah.
But I watched the James Harden one on New Year's Eve against the Knicks, and he was a magician on the floor. That was one of the best games, along with the 60 points for Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
That I've watched this season. Obviously, we watch the NBA every single night, and there's good games every single night. But the James Harden one, like, stands out to me till this day. You know, that happened way back not the beginning of the season, but kind of like almost the midway point.
Exactly.
I don't know. I think it's going to be Harden or Westbrook for this one. Yeah. I think it's going to outdo the points scored by Thompson and Devin Booker. Even though Devin Booker 70 points, that was huge, and he's a young guy in the league. And obviously, Klay Thompson 60 in three quarters. We've seen him light it up for 37 in one quarter.
Oh yeah, exactly.
So
I think it's like we've been talking about throughout this whole season up until the end of the season. It's been Westbrook's kind of season. He may not win the MVP. He may not get some of these awards that people want him to get. But these fan awards, the fans are the ones that are going to pick this. I truly feel like Westbrook's going to take a bunch of these.
So three out of the six fan awards we have going to Westbrook. This one, Harden or Westbrook, the performance of the year.
Yeah.
I don't think, like we said, that there's a loser out of the four, but those two, I think, are at the top. Let us know what you think. Who do you think is going to get the assist of the year, best style, block of the year, dunk of the year, game winner of the year, and performance of the year? You can reach us, let us know by email, the3nikki@gmail.com, or on Facebook, message us. We'll probably put it out there as well.
100%. It'll be up there. Comment.
Let us know who is going to take these awards. Facebook at 3inthekey. On Twitter at BasketPod, make sure to tweet at us. On Instagram, The3inthekey. And obviously, you can listen to each and every episode on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, and of course on the Almighty Baller Radio Network on Dash Radio. Make sure to rate and review us on iTunes and Google Play as well. Check out our website, 3inthekey.ca. That about wraps it up for us, Fouad.
I guess so.
Me and you.
This is,
Hopefully, these two guys decide to show up next week. I hope they iron their things out. Maybe we'll get their take next week on who they think they should win these awards.
Yeah, we'll keep them on opposite sides.
Opposite sides of the studio for sure.
Hold one, I'll hold the other, and we'll ask them the questions.
And then we'll see how it goes. For Fouad Ahad and Dave Tripp and Will Macklin, who are here in spirit, I'm Elias El Zain. Peace.
This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty large black bags.
This is the smell of a warm 3-day-old egg salad sandwich in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech!
And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty ultra-strong trash bag with new Fabuloso lemon scent.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Smell the difference? When life gives you stinky, get Hefty Ultra Strong with new Fabuloso lemon scent. It smells like clean, freshly picked lemons. So no matter what's inside your trash, you can stop the stink and smell the lemon.